into open public input. Due to the weather, I guess, we have a limited amount of input today. Most of you do know the rules of this, but a couple people are new to this process. 3 minutes, you will hear the buzzer go off, and then finish your thoughts. Then you'll see a nasty glance from me, and so we'll wind it up at that. So with that, I'm going to call you up two at a time. Sean and Al, please.
Good morning. Sure. Thank you, Chairman and Commission members and Director. Sean Cantrell with Defenders of Wildlife. I have yet to see you give a nasty glare, by the way, so maybe I can solicit one here soon.
Not you, Sean.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that you'll be talking about today that don't take public comment for those, I know that you're going to be making decisions on the uplisting and status reviews of a couple critters that I did give testimony last time, and just looking forward to hearing your decision. Particularly on the marbled murrelet and the lynx, and encourage you to move forward with those uplistings. As you heard last time, there's significant evidence saying that both those species do need an uplisting, so encourage you to take that action. The other thing I wanted to comment on is that part of the last session where I wasn't here last time, there was a discussion, some public testimony, and then discussion amongst the commissioners around wolf science and getting an update. So I'm very interested to hear in the director's report how and where you're going to go forward on that. I do think that it is a timely thing for the commission and for the Wolf Advisory Group on which I serve to hear the latest updates. I think we've had a lot of that, but having it consolidated and presented in some form, whether that be a panel presentation or a white paper, I'll be curious to hear how the department staff is thinking on that. But my one request is that as you're considering that, to try to make sure that the timing of when it is brought forward or presented is in a time where those of us who are on the Wolf Advisory Group can use that as we're updating the various protocols on lethal, non-lethal, other activities. That we're going to be reviewing that in our February and March meetings, which means if we're going to have access to the compilation of the best available science, making sure that we have that in time for our February 1-2 meeting or March 29th and 30th are those meetings, I think. So just as you're thinking about the timing, would encourage you to make sure that you keep that in mind so that the Wolf Advisory Group can take advantage of the expertise that the department will help bring forward on science. And with that, I think I've finished.
Thank you, Sean. Any questions? And Kirtland and Al.
Good morning, Chairman Smith and Commission members. I'm Al Schmouder. I represent I'm the Vice President of the Chambers Clover Watershed Council. I'm here today to talk for many of the citizens and elected officials in Pierce County. We have a very important issue to us in our watershed, and that is restoration of the estuary at Chambers Bay. And in fact, it's Fish and Wildlife and the Corps of Engineers studied this site and recommended it, did a 10% design on it, and it's very important to increase the estuaries in our state of Washington. But accordingly, the Salmon Recovery Board awarded a grant for $163,000 last year to study the acquisition and removal of the dam. The matching money brings it up to about $200,000. But since then, the darn project's been on hold. And let me tell you why. The department runs a Chinook hatchery program on Chambers Creek. And there's four coal managers, three tribes, Squaxins, Nisqualis, and Puyallups, plus Fish and Wildlife. And any fish that aren't harvested in Chambers Bay are captured at the trap. Either taken, eggs are taken, or they're surplused. Well, one of the coal managers has put a hold on things. They said, you know, we don't want you to go study dam removal until you resolve fishing issues. Well, what are the fishing issues? Well, here's the deal. Here's the rub. If the dam is removed in Chambers Creek, and the 100 fish or so that would pass up that aren't being harvested would spawn naturally and look like native Chinook when they went out to the stream because they'd still have their adipose fins. They wouldn't be marked. So now when those adult fish come back in the fall, the question is the National Marine Fisheries going to consider those fish under the ESA protection rules, or are they going to let the tribes harvest those fish just like they normally have been doing right now? So we've got to resolve this issue. Last November 17th there, Kirk and I met with your assistant director of the fish programs, Kelly Cunningham, and he agreed to help work with us and take this project on. He's assigned Annette Hoffman as our point of contact, and we'll be working with Annette and the tribes, and hopefully we'll get a solution here quickly so that we can continue this grant, because it's hard to get $200,000 to do work, habitat work. This is really habitat work we're trying to accomplish. We can't do the habitat work till we solve the fish problem. So we're kind of in a bind here. Anyway, I wanted to alert you and update you on this project. It's not a very big deal to you. It's a big deal to us because in our watershed, and working with the Indians is very critical. And we look forward to coming back to you and giving you a good news story and tell you what good things have been accomplished as a result of Mr. Cunningham's efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Yes, I'm sure.
What would you like to see happen? I mean, what's your desire?
Here's what we'd like to see happen, sir. The dam is removed. That's the option for recovery of the estuary. It has to be removed under all options. Okay. Now, no dam. What we want to see is all unharvested fish, either by tribal or sport fishermen, after they do their thing in the bay and they're nothing, they've had a chance to harvest all their fish, the rest of them go upstream to spawn naturally. And over the last 7 years, that averages 132 fish. So we want all unharvested fish to proceed upstream and spawn naturally. Then,
are you talking Chinook?
Chinook. Okay. Chinook. The Coho and the Chum are no problem. We have some of those coming back, but they're doing okay. It's just the Chinook that are being halted at our creek. So we've got several miles of habitat they could be using and spawning naturally to produce fish. We think they'll actually improve the number of fish available for harvest by everybody. Then, when our adults come back, they will be disregarded for ESA purposes. The tribal and the sports fishermen, they catch those fish as if they were marked fish. So there's no problem. The fish rear, do their thing. When they come back, they can get caught. And we have a natural process going back and forth. Everybody's happy.
So the intent is to control spawning escapement. I mean, that's...
Not to control spawning escapement. Let any fish go up naturally that aren't harvested. We won't control them.
That's spawning escapement.
Yeah, that's spawning escapement.
Okay. Kelly... Maybe not today, but could we hear a little more detail on that maybe?
Absolutely.
Next go around?
Thanks, sir.
Thanks for your leadership, Nana. Appreciate it. Martha, come up, and Kurt, it's all yours.
So I'm with Al. I'm with the Audubon Society in Pierce County, and we support this change in the hatchery program. What we're asking for is for WDFW staff to amend the hatchery genetic management plan and do this. They would allow the fish to be escaped, not to be sold to a food bank. And the reason why we're so interested in this, of course, we want to save the $200,000 that we have in funds. But the most important thing is we have really invested a lot in this urban watershed. There's 300,000 people living in three cities. We've invested some $13 million of county funds to purchase open space, stormwater, create wetlands, and make water safe for fish and people. These fish want to, we spent several million dollars constructing 7 fish passages to go from Chambers Bay Dam all the way up to Spanaway Lake. It's a huge watershed. And Audubon Society is willing to work in this watershed and get people connected to their creek, show them how to improve their habitat, show them what they can do to improve water quality. We think it's a great effort here. these fish really want to live in this urban area. You can see the ones that get up there, how far they get. These fish will swim through a 1,800-foot-long pipe under McCord to get over to the areas that we've been working in. It's amazing, and we think this has great potential for building goodwill about restoration programs to see these fish come back and be in urban waters. So dam removal is a required step, and we have the support of Puget Sound Nearshore Ecosystem Restoration Project, and this grant really needs to proceed. So I mentioned that the thing we're asking for, and we're working with Kelly, is just to amend the hatchery genetic program to allow these fish to come forward. These tribal issues can be solved. It's just a matter of a negotiation, but that's the one thing the tribe wanted to do, is have that amended. The officials in Pierce County are behind this. They've agreed to remove the dam. They've encouraged us to move forward grants and so on. So anything, that's the thing we lack, and we appreciate your interest in this. And if you just follow up, and our deadline, just try to get this resolved early in the first of the year. And then, because I have just one more minute, I'd like to comment on the 245 hearing where you're going to ask for increased funding. The governor supports this. You're going to go to the legislature. Audubon is completely behind you. Our message, in a word, is tax us. We'll help you fix your funding. We realize it's essential for you to have good funding to do the work you're doing with endangered species and other areas. We will lobby for you. We'll come to hearings. If tell us which your point person is so we can be in contact and know when these dates are. Anyway, that's our message. You're doing good work. We appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Any comments? Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for your support, too. We definitely need it, want it, appreciate it. You both have brought up, Al, as well as you, brought up a point that has been on my mind in relation to the area that I live in the mm-hmm. coast, which is that there appears to be a disconnect between the people who spend their time and effort and energies doing habitat restoration work and those who are in the midst of the allocation battles. Not just allocation, but the fisheries management battles. That's a better way to put it. That on the coast, anyway, it appears that there's very little overlap in the communities that focus on habitat, fish habitat, salmon habitat restoration, and those who are involved in advising us on fisheries management. And a number of us have become aware of this disconnect and hope that there might be a way of bringing those two forces together at some point, where the fish management interested public becomes more engaged in the habitat restoration work and vice versa, because they're very connected. We're talking about salmon management, salmon restoration. So you make a good point. It's just what I wanted to say.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate your assistance. The staff helps us a great deal with the information we need to know about fish and how to do the work. So we really want to work with you on this one.
The point person was, I'm going to take the liberty of pointing out Penny Becker, who's okay. sitting behind you. Penny, can you show who you are? She heads up the diversity section and is the point person on the issue of resources.
There's three Audubon societies close by. It's not far to go to Olympia. We know the way we come on bad weather days.
Yes, you do.
So do we.
Thank you.
I just want to thank you again for your leadership in this and the support of Audubon. The state would do well with more people like you and Al. So thank you.
Great.
Martha, you got your 3 minutes now.
Yes, I'm Martha Hall, Anna Cordes. It wasn't easy getting here.
Fred,
I'm interested in wildlife. I have been my whole life.
Can you move your mic over, please? Thank you.
I'm Martha
Hall, Anna Cordes. I've been interested in wildlife my whole life. I have and am working on wildlife conservation issues. I belong to your largest and mostly ignored stakeholder group. I'm a wildlife watcher. We far outnumber hunters, and we bring far more money into local communities. I think the 2016 protocol for lethal removal was very poorly written. The results are we spent over 120,000 killing seven wolves. Many of us lost all respect and trust we have in this department, and one of only eight breeding packs was killed. I came here today, which was not easy, because I'm really worried about how we're going to get a better protocol in 2017, and I've given this a lot of thought. I recommend that WDFW concentrate first on getting a good protocol for preventing wolf depredation on livestock. I don't think it's an issue of how many calves these wolves kill before you kill the wolves. I think it's a matter of how do you prevent depredation, and I'd like to see a protocol on prevention of depredation that would make this state a leader in wolf management. Focus and use science on how to prevent it, how to prevent it with different kinds of livestock and in different kinds of grazing situations like we had last summer. Then write a protocol that spells out exactly what this department and ranchers do to prevent depredation. I think time spent on this would be much better than focusing on just lethal removal. In fact, this document needs a different name. While the 2016 one was poorly written, I think the intent was good. Proactive use of appropriate deterrents was in the protocol. This didn't happen. Last summer, the rancher who lost the most cattle had one very ineffective deterrent in use for the whole first month. His calves weighed 200 pounds. This pack had lived very successfully on killing deer, elk, moose, all winter. 200-pound calves were not a deterrent. The other deterrent, sanitation, he only did on paper. Sanitation requires that the rancher be there to find injured and dead calves. He was not there very much. He turned his calves out virtually alone to live with a pack of wolves. Everybody, including this rancher, knew the wolves would kill his calves. The people who found the first calf after 1 month were ravens first, and then the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I don't think WAG can write a good protocol, and I'm really worried about leaving it to WAG. It's not a public process, first of all. I know two WAG members. They don't tell me what they're doing on WAG, and I don't necessarily support what they're doing on WAG, though I donate monthly to their groups. WAG is not product focused. And I'm not represented on WAG. Hunters have 4 seats and 13 members on WAG. My group has no seats on WAG. So I don't support WAG for that reason.
Thank you, Mrs. Hall.
I'd like questions.
Well, I'm just going to. Any questions from the commission? Thank you. More public input. So, Patty, it's up to you. Good to see you again.
Good to see all of you. I'm sorry I was a little tardy. The weather. I'm happy to be here, Commissioners and Director. I'm with the Puyallup Historical Hatchery Foundation. Many of you have recognized me from the last several years. I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity of saving the Puyallup Fish Hatchery. I say that every year, and I try to bring you a little update because things continue to move, just like water. And dreams do come true. I've got a letter that she's going to pass out, and the second page is just photographs from Tuesday. In 2012, as you know, there was a direction the state was going with that hatchery, and citizens came out of the woodwork and said, hey, wait, stop. Can we stop? Can we look at this? And can we get involved? Ron Warren's here. He was one of the guys that helped us transition into what it is today, he and Jim Scott. And I thank him very much for leading the way in that. We created the Puyallup Historical Hatchery Foundation, a nonprofit. organization, and through all donations and all volunteers and no tax dollars, we have now had the third Salmon Homecoming event, which will now be a locked-in annual event. There was about 1,000 people from the community that come. It's all educational. We don't sell anything from China. And the kids love it. We do guided tours up to Clark's Creek, which is right behind the hatchery. We have food, live music. You know, it's a really fun event. First weekend of every October now. Not the weekend. We just do Saturdays. We're small. But the most exciting thing, and the thing that we had dreamed of, and when I say dreams come true, is that we were going to hopefully not just do tours, which we've done hundreds and thousands of tours for all kinds of groups, from the elderly to Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, kids getting their Eagle badge from projects at our place. But we have partnered with the Puyallup School District. Dr. Christine Maloney was the head curriculum director that we met with first, and she was very excited. She has children in the district, and it has led to partnership with the others, the school board. STEM science, the actual STEM education program has been now brought forward, and the program started in November. And they bring one, they bus in, the district is providing the money to bus the kids in one class at a time, and we can take these kids and divide them into five little groups. Do you know what kind of learning takes place when you just have four or five children? We have volunteers that staff the stations. There's five stations. The Puyallup Tribe was very helpful in granting us money to create these beautiful steel-colored signs. We have two or three up by the creek. Their topics are, I've mentioned in the letter here, salmon migration, life cycle. We talk about human impact. Pollution is very important. We teach that in the Ed Center that we built. And how these fourth graders at that age level can really participate in what their world is going to look like. It's a phenomenal program. And I could tell you a lot more about it, but I will tell you one little story that really impacted me on Tuesday. I wasn't there Tuesday, but one of the little girls that's from fourth grade, when she got done and they're just dancing around and coming back to the bus and they're very excited and they've had their journals and they filled all this stuff out, she runs up to the gal that's in the Ed Center, and she had seen the little donation boxes by our door, and she goes, "Can I put my lunch money in there?" And she did. Yep. And I thought, that's a sign that we're on the right track, because every dollar counts. And I think it was $1.50. I don't know what lunches go for, but I was appreciative of that. And I appreciate the fact that it's being restored. We're going to have I hope it's a world-class hatchery. It's only blocks from the state fairgrounds, and it's going to be utilized by tourists and kids and learning and people visiting. And the restoration program is underway right now. So I hope that we do the best job possible, and we're there to help any way we can. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Patty. Thanks for your leadership, and that's good news. And Commissioner Carpenter is going to donate his lunch money just so.
I'll get you a receipt for the end of the year.
Instead of $125 for lunch today.
I would be happy to take any donation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty. Great news. Okay.